Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We are concluding this chapter as we consider verses 24 through 27 this morning. First Corinthians chapter 9. Before we hear the preaching of God's word, join me again in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come to your word thankful that we have complete and full confidence that it is your very truth. It is your spoken word in writing to us, Lord. And so we can rest upon every letter, upon every word, Lord, that is in the Holy Scriptures. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would guide us and that you would teach us much from these few verses this morning, that we would live and walk for the honor and glory of Christ our Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Hear now the holy, the inspired, the inerrant, and infallible word of God, written for you and for me today. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he who has ears to hear this very word of God this morning. Well, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul knew and educated the Corinthian saints on the authenticity and the rights of his apostleship. He knew his liberties in Christ, and yet he was very careful about how he used them. And Paul taught us about how we should use our liberties as well. He also went beyond that in giving us a detailed pattern of service to follow, didn't he? And being a bondservant of Christ, Paul sought to follow both the example and the command of Christ in serving others. And so Paul told Corinth that he didn't only set aside some of his rights in order to serve and being careful with others' consciences, but also with a goal that he would win souls for Christ by the will and the work and the saving grace of God. Never forget, beloved, that God uses living a life of service to open doors in gospel conversations. Indeed, he does. He uses living a life of service to open doors in gospel conversations. And therefore, if Paul had such a goal in mind and before his eyes, he desired to reach all kinds of men and women with the free offer of the gospel. And Paul was willing to do what was necessary to preach Christ to those who were under the law, those who were without law, as well as those who were weak in conscience, yet only in such ways that were in accordance with God's law and word. And this is very important for us to remember, as Paul would never betray his Lord by being a man-pleaser, nor would he call us to be man-pleasers in order to gain numbers and evangelism. But rather, Paul considered the context and the culture of the people that he was ministering to as he sought to share Christ with them. He wouldn't sin against God to save souls, but he cheerfully and readily denied himself where it was lawful to do so for the good of others. And we are called to do the same. And now with this in mind, Paul goes on here to give us another illustration of self-denial. And how our worthy walking as servants of Christ should look like, as well as what the motivation should be that undergirds what we do. And I really encourage you to consider this broader context as we consider this passage this morning, for oftentimes you may have thought of it independently or outside of that context, but here it is within the context that the Lord has ordained. And so this morning, let's consider two things. Paul's words regarding our running to obtain a prize in verses 24 and 25, as well as Paul's example in running in verses 26 and 27. So look at Paul's words as he begins to talk about our run in verse 24a. He begins with a question. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Now, in asking this question, Paul wanted the Corinthian saints and us today to view the Christian life as if through the eyes and the experience of Greek athletes and the races that they enter. That's really the picture here. We see it interwoven in the language of every verse here. In biblical days, there were several games that the Romans and the Corinthians played in. There were the Olympian Games, the Pythian, the Nemean, and the Isthmian Games, with the Isthmian Games really being the most prevalent in Greece. And these games were well known to have foot races and races by horseback, and they also had a lot of wrestling matches and the like. In fact, it's quite possible that Paul attended some of these games, and so he was well acquainted with what went on. Now, know that the Greek word here in 24a for run, it literally refers to the athlete running and exercising and exerting themselves as they run, making progress. Now, that's important. Making progress down the path and down the track. The Greek word for race is stadium, which literally can refer to a race course as well as the length of an ancient foot race, which is 1/8 of a Roman mile. And so Paul wasn't describing some casual run. He wasn't describing some lazy walk. But no, he was rather talking about an exerting competitive race. And what is true of competitive races? What do we know about them? Well, the runners don't just show up on the track without preparation, do they? I mean, some might, but they're not going to do very well in comparison to the others. No, they spend a lot of time in training, getting their bodies in shape and ready for each competition. And though it is true that we have walkathons today, maybe many of you have participated in those and other charity events that are for anyone of any kind of physical shape or stamina, runners in these foot races all run. And they run as hard as they can. Each and every one of them pushes themselves to go as fast as they can with an end goal in view. Their eyes are looking forward, right? Their focus is forward. And yet, only one gets the prize, Paul pointedly informs us. Only one gets the prize. There is only one winner. And as Paul was all things to all men with the goal of being a servant and winning souls for Christ, so too every Christian is to run the race of faith set before them with the end goal of obtaining the prize. That is Paul's message. We run with a focus and a goal of obtaining the prize. Remember Paul's words in chapter 4 of this epistle regarding how the Corinthians thought that they had already arrived in many ways. The spiritual blessings that they had received from God, and let us not forget, in this text or in this series, let us not forget the spiritual blessings that they have received from God and that Paul was very mindful of and thankful to God for even at the beginning of this letter. But sadly, those things have swelled with pride in their minds. There were the haves and the have-nots in the church. And so Paul warned them that they were veering off the track. They were going to run out of the bounds of the race. They needed to recalibrate their thinking to understand that they were still running the race. They hadn't crossed the finish line yet. They needed to have a focus on serving, especially thinking about their liberties, for they hadn't crossed that finish line, and so therefore they needed to run as fast as they could, as faithfully as they could, with the power and the Spirit of God working in them by His grace, in order to endure, right, to run with endurance. The prize was still ahead. And so what's the prize that Paul's speaking of here? Well, winners of the Isthmian Games received a crown or a garland, right? It was a leafy, branchy wreath that they would place on the head for the winner, or garland around the neck. And that crown or garland was hung up for display at the end of the race, at the finish line, for all the competitors to see. Again, their eyes were on that. That's what they were going for. They were going forward and pressing forward to be the winner, to grab that prize, to obtain it. And so the runners would strive for it, to be the one who would be able to take it down off of its stand and to have it placed on their heads or around their necks. And yet, as the race for the Christian is spiritual and not physical, Paul calls us to pursue a prize of a different kind, a crown of a different kind, which we'll consider more in a moment. But look at the second half of 24, where Paul says, after he asks that question, he says, "Do you not know?" And now, knowing and considering this, he says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Run in such a way that you may obtain it. See how Paul served as the church's apostolic spiritual trainer, so to speak. He was teaching these saints, teaching us today, how we need to run the race, what we need to have our eyes on as we run in the Christian life. And of course, the one providing the true spiritual training is the Holy Spirit. But God worked through Paul to teach us to run well through serving well. Run well through serving well. Again, the context is so important and wonderful. For there are all kinds of ways that people try to run. But the manner in which we run is important, again, with a goal in mind, so that we obtain the prize. Consider Paul's words to Philippi in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. You can turn with me there if you'd like. He says, beginning in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." My friends, as Philippi needed to hear and be encouraged with these words, so this message was important for Corinth as well. We can see very clear parallels and connections here, can't we? And it's important for our ears today. We are still in the race, and therefore we need to press on. We need to make progress as we run. Indeed, we need to carry out the true meaning of that word run. And we need to pursue, we need to exert, we need to make progress. Not being slowed down by looking behind us. Beloved, isn't looking back and not forgetting our past something that Satan the accuser frequently tries to tempt us with? He tries to make us a hopeless people when we are a completely hopeful people in Jesus Christ. We can't let our thoughts be consumed with what we've been or what we've done and expect to make progress and pressing forward towards the goal. If we fall into sin, we must confess and repent of that sin, receiving God's forgiveness and cleansing, and further, what has been forgiven shouldn't be an ongoing distraction in our lives. We need to put our eyes back on the prize. We need to put our eyes back forward, not be trying to run while looking behind. We will find ourselves veering all over in that course of the race. And now we also need to be mindful that Paul's words to run in such a way, as he put it, aren't implying that Paul is calling us to somehow view ourselves as commanders over our salvation or champions of our salvation as if our run earns it for us. No, no. God calls us to faithful running. He calls us to faithful obedience. But the prize has truly been secured for us by Christ and His righteousness, His run for us. His Spirit is at work in us to be faithful. That is true. And that we must. But He has secured the prize for His people. Again, considering other words that Paul shared with Philippi, consider chapter 2. Verses 12 through 13 there. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Note, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Praise the Lord, beloved, for the work of God in us who are sinners, who are imperfect, who fall, and we stumble in this race of the Christian life every day, and yet it is Christ who is working in us by His Spirit. It is Christ who works in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. It is Christ who keeps us making progress in our sanctification as His Spirit is sanctifying us. He is growing us in that grace, and He will complete that good work in us when He returns. Praise the Lord that it isn't up to us. But Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 to say, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. My friends, as the runners of a race don't take the race lightly, they strive and they fight to finish well. The athlete takes his training seriously, and what does he do? He deprives himself of all excess. He gets that out of the way so that he can better fine-tune his body for the task ahead of it, to be truly competitive, to be in a place to truly win. And so too, Christians are to exercise self-control as we keep our eyes on the prize. Consider the words of the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, where he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Hear self-discipline. Hear self-denial in this passage. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, wonderfully and importantly. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Before the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friends, part of endurance is dealing appropriately in self-control with temptations and sins as we keep our eyes on Christ. As we keep our eyes on Christ, again, the one who endured all things for us, the one who endure the suffering and the pain of the cross. The one who indeed was victorious over death and the grave. And that victory was demonstrated in his resurrection on the third day. And indeed, as the writer says, he has ascended and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is ruling and reigning even now, interceding for you. And so as Paul compares the physical athlete with the spiritual athlete, he also compares the highly valued physical leaf and branch-woven crown that all the competitive racers in that day were going for, were striving for, would love to have on their heads, even love to put on their walls at home. But that crown perishes. That crown falls apart and decays in time. But he compares that crown with what we should even more highly value, the spiritual crown that doesn't. The spiritual crown that doesn't. And then what is this spiritual crown? Well, though there are several crowns spoken of in Scripture, we see the crown of life for those who endure temptation and are approved, James chapter 1, verse 12. God also teaches us about the crown of righteousness for those who love His coming in 2 Timothy 4:8. As well as the crown of glory that doesn't fade away for elders who shepherd well, 1 Peter 5:4. But Peter also teaches us about our glorious, incorruptible inheritance that will never fade away as we are co-heirs with Christ, 1 Peter 1:4. So Paul here is pointing us to what we will obtain when we spend our inheritance in full communion with Christ in heaven for all eternity. Praise the Lord for His work. Praise the Lord for that inheritance that is ours in Christ. And Paul goes on then to teach us more about how we should run and gives us the example of his run. Again, here's what's at the end. Gloriously, wonderfully. How should that affect how you live today? How should that affect how you run today? Let me show you my example, Paul says. Let me show you by what the Spirit is doing in me. Look at verse 26. Considering all of this, he says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. And thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Beloved, wonderfully, whereas runners run with uncertainty, as they don't know whether they will win or not, Paul knew that he ran with certainty. He also fought the good fight well. As a boxer knows, in a fight, it isn't good, it isn't wise to waste his energy by punching in the air. It's going to wear him out. He needs the muscle, he needs the strength, he needs the energy to land the punches on his opponent, on his target. And that's where he focuses his time, his focus, his energy, is on his target, is on the goal. Likewise, Paul desired to maximize his ministry by seeing many people come to Christ through his faithful preaching of Christ and Him crucified. And he calls us to have the same mindset. Beloved, if any of you struggle with uncertainty today, let this very word of God resonate in your hearts and in your ears. If any of you have thoughts like, yeah, but Pastor, Paul was Paul. I mean, he was basically a Superman, right? I mean, he was an apostle. Now, Paul would refer to himself rightly as the chief of sinners. If you think to yourself, you know, I honestly doubt if I can run well. I haven't in the past. Or can I really finish the race well? I zig and I zag all over the place. Maybe some people don't see it, but I see it. I know it. I don't know if I'm cut out for this. My training is lacking. I'm not disciplined. I don't do what I ought to do. either in study or in prayer or in worship or in fellowship. I don't. And so, how am I to consider this? I'm so lazy sometimes that the progress I make seems more like the tortoise than the hare, if even that. I look behind me too often and I trip and fall because I don't see what's ahead or I'm not even focused there. What hope, what certainty do I have? Beloved, His name is Jesus. He is your certainty. He is your surety. Be comforted and encouraged by His Spirit today. For we know the great and the grand promises of the gospel. We know that we are to run and we are to fight well with perseverance. We also know the preserving and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We know that all of God's children win being in Christ. And being in Him, we have certainty because of what He has accomplished in our redemption, because of what He therefore has secured for us and guarantees for us in our inheritance. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. We have certainty. Let that certainty counter the doubt that you have in your heart. Well, Paul concludes in verse 27 by saying this and even giving us a further description of his example of running. What does he do? He says, "But I discipline my body, bringing it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Again, we hear this running, this race language woven throughout, don't we, even to the very last word. The Christian life is a life of Spirit-wrought training in self-discipline. And when Paul says that he disciplined his body, the Greek literally means he gave himself a black eye, continuing with the boxing analogy. And though Paul really didn't give himself a black eye, he knew that his opponent was himself. He knew that his opponent was himself. And so he exercised self-denial. He exercised self-discipline for the furthering of the gospel as well as his own salvation. Paul knew that he was a sinner saved by grace. And knowing God's grace, he desired to be a faithful minister, not a hypocritical one. He was not one who would stand in the pulpit and say, "Listen to what I preach, but close your eyes when you look at my life, because it's not consistent." No, he was one who practiced what he preached. He was one who would not finally fall and be found disqualified in the verdict of the Holy Judge. But that's what he wanted to have in view in the Corinthian mind and in ours today. That it's this type of training that we need to be involved in. It's this type of self-denial, as he's spoken about in all of these different contexts and illustrations. Here is self-denial and self-discipline in order to be a faithful servant of Christ. Paul knew and he sought to live according to Christ's call in Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. Well-known passage to many of us. Hear these words. "If anyone desires to come after me," Christ said, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Here is the run of the Christian life, described beautifully by our Lord. It's a life of self-denial. It's a life of getting self out of the way, mortifying sin in our flesh. having our eyes focused on Christ, having our eyes on the suffering servant, and even picking up our cross to bear, even in time of suffering and tribulation and persecution, to walk the road that He has called us to walk and has laid before us, to run that race well, with crosses on our back and our cross on our back, so to speak, as we follow Jesus, as we run with our whole hearts to the finish line, living according to the command and example of our Lord. And so, beloved, I'll leave you with this. The race is set before you, and you're in the middle of it. How well are you running? How well are you running? How well are you fighting the good fight? Has God shown you areas, maybe even here this morning, where you can and should shore up and improve? Have renewed zeal to run and to fight well for the good testimony and the glory of Christ your Lord. But may your running also today and tomorrow for the sake of the gospel shine light to your having the end goal, the glorious prize, the crown, your inheritance and an eternal communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the triune God in your focus. May that be evident in how you live, that people can see that. That yes, you are focused on how you live today and all the ways that the Lord has called you to be faithful in. But it's in those things that have been informed, that have been fueled and motivated by what you're gazing at ahead. And as you make progress as a disciple in Christ's school, by His grace, may you grow in self-denial and self-discipline. It's not easy. It's hard. Just like going to a gym, the training there is hard. It takes time. There are often times where you'd like to give up. There are often times where you just like to slip back into your old habits. But run. Run to Christ. Run to that finish line, beloved, even eternity with Him. Run, growing in that self-denial and self-discipline. Get yourself out of the way. Put self on the sidelines. Mortify it. Be willing to set aside your self-interest for the sake of ministry to others as you run in a manner that is well-pleasing to your Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise God for His word, and join me again as we pray together.